there are over 40,000 scientific journals published every month. Yet with all this bulk of knowledge, have we really answered the deep questions in the human heart? It's time for Faith Factor. Stay there.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural is
conflict. Bible. Reality.
Conflict. Faith Factor. It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. Rod Hembry here with Faith Factor. And today we take a look at something very interesting with all of the bulk of knowledge and understanding. And by the way, the recent explosion of knowledge and understanding is predicted in the Bible, in the book of Daniel. As a matter of fact, there's also another prediction in the book called Amos. These are prophets in the sacred Hebrew scripture, also known as the Bible. And in these prophets, it is predicted that there will be a knowledge explosion at the end of days. But also in the book of Amos, this is a prophet who is often called God's angry man. He was a farmer of sycamore trees and was very unsophisticated, but he actually went up and spoke on behalf of God. That's right, the one true living God, to many who thought they were worshiping God, but they actually were not. They were worshiping something other than God. He spoke to them. He said, there will be a time when there will be a famine in the land, not of bread and not of water, but of the word of God. In other words, people will be so overwhelmed with information and with technology, with all these things, that they will ignore the words of the one true living God. We see a lot of this happening today in our secular culture, particularly in the West. Well, today on Faith Factor, we're going to tackle these issues and we're going to tackle the truth. Is there a technology? Is there a piece of technology? Is there something that can remove the loneliness in the heart of someone who feels depressed? Is there some kind of machine, some kind of computer that can remove the habitual sin, the habitual practice of a hopeless alcoholic? Of course, the answer to that question is no, there's not. Not without some radical brain operations that would remove half your brain and render you senseless. Well, the truth is that the human heart is much more complicated than our technology would like to admit. And we're going to be talking about that today on Faith Factor as we confront the modern secular scientific mind with the reality of biblical truth. All this and more coming up. Stay there. I'm Rod Hembry, and this is Faith Factor. The cultural war continues in just a moment.
It's time to take a hard look at culture and reality. The cultural war is on.
Faith Factor.
Faith Factor is a presentation of the Quick Study television program taking you through the Bible in 1 year. Why not watch Quick Study? Check your local listing. Seen in Canada on Vision TV at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every morning. And on the Miracle Channel, CJIL, twice a day. First at 6 in the morning and then at 6:30 in the evening. Check the Miracle Channel. The Miracle Channel, CJIL. God's Miracle in Canada.
There's no money.
I hate my job.
I can't take it.
I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly.
This is an accident.
I want a divorce.
Please see a doctor.
It's cancer.
Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Discover life's answer in the Bible. This message has been brought to you by FamilyNet and your Southern Baptist friends.
Well, the cultural war is on. Rod Hembry here, and this is Faith Factor. Thank you for joining us today. And before we get started into the meat of what we're talking about, I want to kind of lay out some ancient proverbs, which are the words of God himself, the creator of the universe. That's what I believe. That's what many millions of people believe. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, as we engage the cultural war. Is there a God? And if he is, is he relevant to me? Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2 say, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, For length of days, long life, and peace they will add to you. Now, in these first two verses, I want to stop here and mention that there are three things that God, understanding, knowing His law, not forgetting who He is, and keeping your heart with the commands that come from the Bible or the Word of God, they will do three things. First of all, it says they will give length of days to you and long life, number two, and peace they will add to you. Now, what's the difference between length of days and long life? Well, if you read it in the Hebrew, length of days actually means productivity. So in other words, if you don't forget the law of God, but if you remember it, if you keep your heart with the Bible, with the Word of God, it will make you productive as a person. It will give you long life or longevity. It will also add peace during those times. That's a pretty good formula. Well, Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 continues this way, and it says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you, but bind mercy and truth around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." So many people are trying to find favor with man these days and God second. And actually, the Bible says you should find favor with God first, and then favor with man will come later. That is to say, not favor necessarily with those who hate God, but favor with those who understand the moral law. Well, you do that by heeding mercy and truth. Truth being the Word of God, mercy being the character of God. Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." And herein lies the number one problem we have in today's secular culture of science, is that there is no acknowledging of a higher power. There is no acknowledging of God. So it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, God, and He will direct your paths." And yet there are many scientists who do in fact acknowledge God, and they are brilliant. And God gives them what I call an unfair advantage over their colleagues. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 7, a warning in pride. "Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear and respect God," Yahweh, the ever-present one, the Lord. "Fear and respect the Lord and depart from evil." Well, this is the setup passages that we want to bring to you today before we jump right into the puzzle of the universe. You know, what's amazing to me is no matter how much we look at the universe, it still seems to be a puzzle. In the September edition of Discovery Magazine, or I should say the December edition of Discovery Magazine, it says, "A Visitor's Guide to the Invisible Universe." And the headline in the story of Invisible Universe, Martin Rees says that every time that the scientists try to add up all of the matter in the galaxy, it never works out. He concludes that at least 96% of the cosmos cannot be seen. So we're making pretty pretentious statements about the universe when we can't even see 96% of it or even perceive it. Nevertheless, theology and all of the things that we think about knowing God and reason and science and all of that, they really haven't known God. You see, it's one thing to know about God or Creator, but it's another thing to know the love of God, the personal interaction of that Creator. Well, before we go on, let's establish a couple of things that the Bible says about the heavens and about the way things are around us. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 says it this way. "This is the history of the heavens," notice it's plural, "the heavens and the earth when they were created, and in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens," plural. Again, there were several heavens that were made according to the book of Genesis. Now, Jewish tradition renders this word here, heaven, into three parts. First of all, Jeremiah 23:24, there is the atmosphere in which the birds fly. That's the atmosphere, the stratosphere, all of the various spheres that surround the globe. The second part of the heavens, according to Deuteronomy chapter 17, is the stars and the space between them, the universe, the cosmos. This is the second heaven. And then the spiritual realm is the third heaven, according to Psalm 115, verse 16. This is exactly what Paul meant when he said he was caught up into the third heaven. Not the heavens of the atmosphere, not the heavens of the universe, but the spiritual heavens. And Job chapter 38, verse 33, Job is quite possibly the oldest book of the Bible, says this, Do you know the ordinances of the heavens, Job? God asked Job. Can you set their dominion over the earth? Now, in this passage, we learn that there are rules that are programmed into the heavens for all of earth. Now, the scientist looks around and he understands that. He realizes that gravity is in place and there's various things that are in place in the heavens. The same is true for the spiritual world. There are principles. There are the laws of holiness, the laws of Christ, the laws of God. Psalm 33, verse 6 says, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." Now, I want you to notice something here, that it says, "All the hosts of heavens were made by the breath of his mouth." What's fascinating to me is that even the angels were created by the word of God. Notice the creative power of the word of God. Psalm 50, verse 4 says, "He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people." Listen here. He says, "Gather my saints together to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Let the heavens declare his, God's righteousness, for God himself is judge." What an amazing scripture. Psalm 96, verse 5. "For all the gods of the people are but idols, but the Lord made the heavens." When we make God in our mind, we rule. But when God remakes our minds through being born again, he rules. I love that. And these laws of the heavens, that is to say the spiritual heavens as well, also come into play. Now, have you ever had a young child ask you, you know, what is beyond space? My young child does this to me. Brandon is his name. He's the youngest one in the family. He's now 11 years old. "Dad, what's above the sky?" "Well, we have the planets." "What's above the planets?" "Well, we have more stars." "What's above the stars?" "We have galaxies." "What's beyond the galaxies?" "The universe." "Dad, what is beyond the universe?" Well, the answer to the question comes from the word of God. Psalm 113, verse 4. "The Lord is high above all the nations." Now listen, "His glory is above the heavens." So we are surrounded by the glory of God, and this is, of course, true in Psalm 19. Now, of course, as we've gone through all this, the question you might ask is, what's the point? I mean, why are we going through all this, right? I thought we were talking about something else. Well, my question is this. Is there something that transcends all three heavens? Is there a force that ties all of this together in some trans-universal power and synchronizes it? We've been looking for it in religion or theology. We've been looking for it in philosophy or reason. We've been looking for it in science and research. But the truth is, there is. And when we return with Faith Factor, we're going to explore the reality of God's love and why technology doesn't answer the question, but the only thing that answers the questions in our life are the things which emanate from the Word of God through the love of God. When we continue with Faith Factor, the cultural war continues as we put the love of God up against the reality of human nature. Stay there. I'm Rod Hemp.
Faith Factor will be right back.
The cultural war continues.
You know, I was noticing the other day a recent study that demonstrated that reading the Bible and meditating on the Bible actually reduces stress in someone's life 60% more than if they were just to sit quietly. What a fascinating study it was. I want to let you know that Faith Factor is a program brought to you by the Quick Study Television program. What's Quick Study Television all about? It's a program we do, and it's about taking you through the Bible in 1 year. Now, the Bible is 66 books written by 40 authors over thousands of years, and yet it all has one central theme. And at the center of this theme is a person called Jesus Christ. And he brings three very important aspects to our life: love, joy, and peace, which are, in fact, the very first, what we call, fruits of the Holy Spirit of God. If you truly want love, joy, and peace, there's only one place to get it, and that's by finding it through the power of Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit of God. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have much to work with unless we take the Word of God, that which He has said to us, that which He carefully crafted that we might know Him, and put it in our lives. And so we've developed a program called Quick Study 2004. And if you would like to become a partner of this ministry, this radio ministry, send a gift in any amount on a monthly basis, then we'd be happy to send you every month little booklets. Now, the first booklet I'm holding in my hand is January. The next one is February. And every month we'll send you a small booklet. Each page in this booklet is dedicated to a day. For example, on January 10th, it shows Genesis 25 to 26, the reading. And we're going to read through the Bible in 1 year. Why not join us? Now, if you'd like to become a partner of this ministry, if you'd like to read through the Bible in 1 year, if you'd like to find out what all the fuss is about, is test the Bible and see if it's true. See if Psalm 107:20 is true. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from the destruction. Then you can do so by simply writing to us. When you write to us, send an offering in any amount and write to Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. That's Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to give you that address one more time. Before I do, let me encourage you to write and also send your prayer request, because we do pray for you at the Good Friends Fellowship Church in Orangeville, Ontario, every Sunday. What you need to do is write to Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G2. We'll be looking for your letter today. Why not join us in 2004? Read through the Bible in 1 year. Rod Hember here. This is Faith Factor. We're having a good time taking a look, really, at what's going on. You know, when we talk about the cultural war, what are we talking about? Well, actually, we're talking about philosophies more than anything else. Now, a culture of knowledge, this is what we've created in today's Western world. What does the word culture mean? Well, the word culture means the customs, civilization, and achievements of a particular time or people, the way of life, a peculiar society or a particular group of people. This is what the word culture means. And ladies and gentlemen, with our religious beliefs, our theology, our understanding of God, when I say religion, many of our understandings of God are warped, but with our religion, our philosophy, and our reason, and our research, and our scientists, we have developed a culture in the West. And that culture is really not necessarily correct. It just is a different kind of culture. In fact, we've created a culture of knowledge that is predicted in the Bible. Let me bring you to Daniel, a prophet in the Bible, chapter 12, verse 4. It says, "But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. For in the time of the end, many will travel here and travel there, increasing in knowledge." What an amazing thing. And then I look at some of the recent cultural indicators. For example, 70% of all scientists in history are alive today. 70% of all scientists are alive today. Today, more than 40,000 scientific journals are printed regularly. I mean, it's amazing. We have more university graduates than we have ever had before. As a matter of fact, in the last 50 years, according to the statistics, more than 700% increase in university graduate. 75% of all medicines in use today have been developed this century. We have a culture of knowledge. And so my question is, in this culture of knowledge, in this great wonder of neo-man, how have our lives improved because of the increase in knowledge? I want you to be real honest with this question. How have our lives truly improved because of the increase of human knowledge? Have we outgrown God? Are we better off now without Him? Without Him in our minds and in our lives? Do we have stress in this life? Have we eliminated stress? Have we eliminated AIDS? Have we eliminated all of the issues that face humankind? How about hate? We know that since we are so great now in knowledge, we don't hate anymore, do we? Well, nothing could be further from the truth, and we often say, well, hate is relegated to the far side darkness of the world where they're uneducated. Let me tell you that there's a lot of educated, hateful people that just hate the world. We see this all the time. Education has nothing to do with hate. Hate is a spiritual problem. It's a spiritual root. I like what Dr. Patrick Glenn said in his book called God the Evidence. On page 2, he said, quote, "There was a certain tendency which I came to share to view religious belief and practice as manifestations of intellectual inconsistency, emotional weakness, or lack of spiritual sophistication. As a scientist, I thought the spiritual was merely a product of human imagination. But today, I know better." Close quote. Dr. Patrick Glenn, God the Evidence. And that's, unfortunately for him, a marriage and a half later that he realizes and recognizes that all of the science in the world is not going to save his marriage, and all the science in the world is not going to answer the deep, dark questions of his soul. Paul Davies, the professor of natural philosophy at the University of Adelaide in South Australia, listen to what he said when alluding to the absolute knowledge, they call it. He said, "In the end, mystical experience might provide the only avenue to absolute truth." Close quote. I'm going to read that again because we're talking about Dr. Paul Davies here. I want people to understand and know, especially those who happen to be listening from the University of Toronto. I want you to listen carefully to this line. Quote, "In the end, mystical experience might provide the only avenue to absolute truth." Close quote. Dr. Paul Davies, professor of natural philosophy, University of Adelaide. These are educated people who have studied, made their lives study. I like what Dr. Wittgenstein said in his thesis. He said it this way, quote, "The question is not how the world is, but the question is that the world is." In other words, Dr. Ludwig Wittgenstein says that in Germany, he says, you know, the problem really is not the mechanics of the world. The problem is the reason for the world. And John Horgan, in his book, The End of Science, on page 266, said it this way. He said, "The ostensible goal of science, philosophy, religion, and all forms of knowledge is to transform the great, of mystical wonder into an even greater, of understanding." But has it happened? For hundreds of years, Dr. Patrick Glenn says, science has been whittling away at the proposition that the universe was created or designed. Suddenly, scientists came upon a series of facts that seem to point towards precisely such a condition, that the universe is a product of intelligence and aim, that in absence of intelligence, organization of thousands of details, vast and small, we would not exist. Close quote, Dr. Patrick Glenn, page 8 and 9, God the Evidence. Folks, I just want to mention here that it's very important that all of us say and understand and admit, and there's very few people who are willing to admit it. Here it is. At the end of the day, in our culture of knowledge, the culture of knowledge has not answered any of the basic questions of existence. It has only extended our existence. With that in mind, we're going to come back and answer some of the critical questions that deal with our lives, where we are with what we have. We're going back to the Proverbs. We're going back to look at Proverbs chapter 3 and get some real solid answers from the Word of God, which has been around a lot longer than science. I'm Rod Hembry. This is Faith Factor. In just a moment, we're going to bring the confrontation of the human will and the human nature against the love of God and the nature of God. When Faith Factor continues, stay there.
Faith Factor will be right back.
The cultural war continues.
Just want to quickly remind you before we continue that you can go with us in 2004 and read through the Bible. It's never too late to join. There are 12 booklets we can send you, each with a number of pages, each page dedicated to a day with life lessons on it, 5 life lessons, a little commentary on what we read, and a prayer for the day. Designed to take you through the Bible in 1 year, it is an exciting plan. If you become a partner of this radio ministry with an offering in any amount, we'd be happy to send you these booklets regularly. That's one every month until we're finished going through the Bible in 2004. Why not join us? The way you can reach us is make an offering in any amount and make it to Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G4. That's Quick Study, P.O. Box 456, Orangeville, Ontario, L9W5G4. When you write, send your prayer request because we pray for you. Rod Hembry back here with Faith Factor. You know, let's break it down just a little bit for the next 3 minutes because we really have to go back to what we read earlier. The Proverbs, the book called Proverbs, comes from a Latin word which means words for living. Four words, F-O-R, words, words for living. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, and we'll go right on to 7, we have some truths and some principles, and hopefully I want to describe them as we did at the beginning of the program so that we can lock into the reality of why there is something instead of nothing. Let's just read through it in these final few moments of the program and see what God would speak to us today. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now in these first two verses of Proverbs 3, I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, he addresses my son. We are family with God. We're created in the image of God, and God chose, decided, made a decision to save us when man fell. Back in the Garden of Eden, God's original plan was for man to be fruitful and multiply, but he rejected God and as a result of that severed the connection. Nevertheless, God is still creator, and he often says, Jesus says, that we will become the sons of God. That doesn't mean we become gods. It means we become that which is heir to God's. That what I'm trying to say is you inherit the kingdom of God. So he says, my son, do not forget my law. What is the law? Well, the law simply are the ways of God. It is the way of Christ. It is the way of holiness. Don't forget them, but let your heart keep my commands or my ways. Notice he says it's your heart that has to keep. That's because from the heart comes all of your actions. So you can be acting a certain way on the outside, but if your heart is bad, it's going to eventually come out. We call that being a hypocrite. You deal with the heart issue. What's inside of you? How do you really think about God? What do you really think about that person you work with at work? It says, but if you let your heart keep my ways, then productivity or length of days and long life, longevity, and peace, they will add to you. You will be added to your life productivity. You'll be added to your life length of days or longevity. You'll be added to your life peace. You know, just having peace will make us a lot more productive, wouldn't it? Proverbs 3, verses 3 and 4 say this, and here's the key. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. I want to end today with that particular verse because it's very important. It says here that mercy and truth are the key figures. Now, mercy represents the nature of God, but truth represents the reality of God. There is an absolute truth. There is a right and a wrong. And it is through the nature of God's mercy that he brings us to the right. That's very important. And he says, don't forget that. It's not enough just to have mercy, because then at some point you begin endorsing bad behavior just with mercy. But you need to have truth with it. And it's not enough just to have truth, because by doing so, you lock out all of those who are trying to attain that knowledge of God. So it's by mercy and truth. And by the way, there's a proverb that says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Okay, so that's very important to remember that. Don't let them forsake you. It said, listen to the word here. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. What does that mean? It means that your heart, your soul, the very nature of who you are, that's the place where God needs to be. God doesn't need to be at church or need to be over here when you see the pastor. He needs to be inside of you, in the nature of who you are. And when he attains that, you will find favor, according to Proverbs 3 and 4, verses 3 and 4. You'll find favor and high esteem in the sight of God first and then man. How do you do that? You come to know the one called Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, it's that name which so many people use as a swear word. I ask that you would touch the people today and move on their hearts that they may find you in a new way. In Jesus' name I ask this, and we said together, amen. Reach out to God today. Don't let mercy and truth forsake you, but let God write his word on the tablet of your heart. We'll be back next time on Faith Factor. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rod Hembry.